Solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old, and your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today.
Yes. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He's something else, isn't he? He is something else. How good is Jesus? What has he done for you? What? No, the better question is this. What in your life has he not done for you? If we sit and we try to count our blessings, there's absolutely no way we can count the things Christ has done for us. Of course, the greatest thing of all is that he died on a cross for our sins. He gave his life for us. We're unworthy. We have no right to even ask for a spot in his kingdom. But Jesus loved us enough to die and give his life. God died for us. Wow, that's a big deal. And so he made a way for us to be saved. Then after that, he builds a relationship with us so that we have something to, we have salvation to build, and we have the security of knowing we're saved. Then we build on that. And goodness, let's talk about that Jesus. He's good, isn't he? He's good. We're going to be in Joshua chapter number 23. Stand with me. We're going to jump in the Word right away. Joshua chapter number 23, the first 13 verses. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges, for their officers, and he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all the nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even to the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside thereof to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of their names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you. And he hath promised you, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Wow, Father, as we come and look at this passage, we see this great message that Joshua shared with the leaders, with the elders of the people and the tribes. God, what was on his heart as he is old and stricken in years, not long till he's going to be gone. And these things that are close to his heart, he wants to share with the people. He wanted to remind them, God, the importance of their relationship of what you have done and some warning signs that they need to be aware of in their relationship to you and as they have observed to do these commandments and offerings and sacrifices. That, God, today we need to be reminded of these fundamentals of Christianity. We need to be reminded of those things that we should be doing every day of our life. And God, help us take this solemn warning into account in our lives today as well, to know that if we, God, if we sin against you, if we disobey you, if we turn our backs on you, after tasting of the fruit of salvation, God, we know that you're not going to drive out our enemies. We know that their enemies, our enemies are going to be around us, round about, God, they're going to surround us. We know trouble will come. We disobey and we turn our backs on you. Forgive us today. God, forgive me and cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. Have your way Lord, in my heart, have your way in the remainder of this message. Thank you for that powerful word that was sung. May we go out and tell the world about you, Jesus. That's the plan. That's the goal. Let the world know how wonderful you are. And be with us, God, as we look into this passage, expound on it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I was thinking about, while they were singing that song, let me tell you about my Jesus, about what God has done for me, what God's done for you. And that's literally where we're starting in our message today, is where, what has God done for you? Look back at Joshua 23 and verse number 3. It said, "And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you." Here's the question. Why did God do what he did to the nations that inhabited the land of Canaan? Why did he do what he did? Well, one thing, because we find out in the scriptures, they were ungodly nations. They were nations that had completely rejected anything remotely associated with Jehovah. He didn't just come in here and kill a bunch of good people. I know we get confused on that. We think, well, goodness, God just let those people go in and just kill a bunch of innocent people. No, they weren't innocent. They were guilty. They were people that had rejected everything. They were vile. They were corrupt. They were evil people, wicked people. And God said, this land I've set aside for my people that worship me and follow me and trust and believe in me. So these people were evil. So he said, why did God do this? God did it because of his people. The things God does in our lives and around us, the things that just seem to work out, and the things that happen, we say, wow, how in the world did that happen? Why did that happen? Many times, obviously, in our obedience, God opens up doors of opportunity because of us. So he said, these things have been destroyed because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. God has been amazing in his deliverance of his people. We do good, I think, to continue to remember that. I go back to when I was 7 years old and I got saved. Cried out to Jesus, asked him to come in my heart. I didn't know a whole lot about what salvation meant. I didn't understand what, you know, all the intricate details of what this salvation held and what all the blessings were going to be. All I knew is I was a kid that felt terrible inside. I felt an emptiness. And I'd been told and taught that Jesus could be the one to feel that. So the Holy Spirit brought all that together and let me understand, yeah, I'm empty because I'm lost. I'm empty because I've sinned. I'm empty because I don't know Christ as my Savior. And the Spirit introduced me to Jesus. I knew about him for those first 7 years. I'd heard about him. I'd heard people preach about him and teach about him in Bible schools and Sunday school. And I learned a lot about him. But I got to the point where I was actually able to understand he is a person. He is God made flesh that died for all of my sins. So I was able to ask Christ to come into my heart. That's the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. I've had a lot of great things happen in my life too. Haven't you? Met famous people, you know? Married to a wonderful, wonderful woman. Got some great kids, got a wonderful granddaughter. I've had a lot of wonderful experiences in my life. And my little grandbaby is a lot of my life. But, it's hard to say this, but my relationship with Christ is even more important and precious and special than the relationship I have with my little grandbaby. And that's a pretty good one. Why? Because Jesus is everything. He's everything. I can have stuff. I can have money. I can have friends. I can have a family. I can have this and that. I can be healthy. I can be exempt from a lot of things that are happening in other people's lives. Those things can come and go. Money will come and go. Health can come and go. And it can really go fast too, can't it? Hair can go, but it won't come back. Some things go. We're not guaranteed or promised all of this stuff to last forever. One thing is sure, that it will last forever: Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him, if you believe and trust in Him as Lord and Savior. What has He done for you? Can you go out and say to people on the street, let me tell you about my Jesus, and let me tell you what He did for me. He saved me. I couldn't save myself. While they were in Egypt, and they were in bondage, and they were enslaved, they were not fighters. They were carpenters and builders and block masons. They couldn't fight and get freedom and be delivered and set free from the bondage they were in. God came in and delivered them and set them free. They were out in the wilderness for those 40 years, and there was no Chick-fil-A out there, so God brought manna. They didn't have the equipment. They didn't have the resources to provide food for this amazing number of people. There's no way they could have traveled all this time and provided for themselves. What happened? God brought food. He brought a meal every day. He brought manna in the morning, and He brought quail at night. Quail would fly over and just drop and die, and they'd go out and gather them up. We forget, wow, God has been amazing in His deliverance and His provision for us and for His people. You ever get mad and upset about circumstances in your life? Then we need to stop and pause and go back and think, but let me compare that to what God has done in my life. Listen, I know we're all going to have trouble. We're all going to have problems. We know that. But God has done more in my life to counter every bad situation that I have ever had in my entire life. He has been everything. He's been my all in all. Now I want to give you some warnings. When we start out and we say, we need to remember how good and amazing God is and all that God has blessed us with. Just like Joshua was telling these people, you go back and you remember God's the one that brought you into this land. God's blessed you with this. Here's some warnings that we need to have, especially after we become saved and believers in Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded of these warnings. The first warning is this: don't see a distorted past. What does that mean? Basically, it means this: don't look back and see the past better than it actually was. Exodus 16 and verse number 3. The children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They're sitting around and they're thinking, wow, we had it better in Egypt than out here wandering around with you, Moses, in this wilderness. That, you know why they're mad? They're mad because they didn't have what they felt like was ample food or enough to eat. They were complaining because they didn't like the meal that was being provided. They would rather go back and be enslaved and serve the Egyptians as their masters than to be free and have freedom in God and maybe have a little bit of a challenge when it comes to a meal. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 says this: we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing. Now listen to this. Isn't it just exactly like us? Here's what they said: there's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. You know what? The book of Psalms calls manna angels' food. I don't know how much better you can get than be eating angels' food. But you know, some people can complain about eating chocolate pie, and we've been on that before, haven't we? Some people are just not satisfied with anything. Some people are never going to be satisfied. It don't matter what you get or what you give them. If somebody showed up at your door every Monday and gave you $1,000, then about a month into that, if they weren't there by 8 o'clock in the morning, you'd probably start getting mad because they're not there to give you that $1,000. We forget about that. We forget about how good God is to us, how blessed we are, and many times we will look back and think the past is so much more attractive than it actually was. Listen, what they forgot was this. They were slaves. They were owned. They were burdened with the hardships that the Egyptians placed on them. Some people think, wow, being a Christian is a hard job. It's almost easier just to not be a Christian at all. Really? You want to go back and do that? I know some folks will quit a job and then they'll take on another job. Problems arise within that new job. And then what's the thought they have? Well, gosh, I just wish I was back there at that old job. And then if we just pause for just a minute and we just think this, there was a reason why I quit that first job. I need to go back and think what came with it. I need to go back and think the baggage that I had to carry with that. We need to remember what life was like when we're disobedient to God and what we truly have to suffer and what the true cost is when we're disobedient to God. Never look back at the world and think, boy, when I got involved in church and I started serving the Lord and I got a part of some of the ministries at church, man, things got challenging. It got difficult. You know, life was a whole lot easier when I just come in every once in a while and sat in a pew and said an amen and went back home. Really? Life was a lot better then? Life is always going to have its challenges. Don't get me wrong. It will always have its challenges. And Satan he despises it when he sees a Christian getting closer to God. And he is going to try to challenge you and tempt you to draw you away. But you want to go back to a life that's filled with misery because of disobedience to God? Or would you rather have a life that is enriched by the fruit of the Spirit of God and have a few challenges that we need to face? Never look back and see a distorted past. Satan will cloud the water so we can't go back and see how terrible things are when we're out of fellowship with God. He wants you to think it's a whole lot better. We need to remember who Jesus Christ is and how wonderful our relationship with Him is. The next warning is this: don't dwell on past success. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We've got to be careful, and we don't look back, and we think of ourselves a whole lot more important than we really are. We can be guilty of thinking that, boy, if I'm not here, boy, if I were to resign as pastor from Richardson Co. Church, the wheels would fall off. I begin to think that, you know what's going to happen? God's going to kick me out, and you're going to pick up steam. That's what would happen. We can never think that everything hinges on us. We can never get to the point that we feel like God can't do it without us. I think he talked to Job, and he said, Job, where were you when I formed the world? Oh, my goodness. You know people that like that, don't you? You know people that sometimes you wonder, well, they must have been there as an advisor to God when he created the world. Because they know everything. They know it all. They got it all going on. You know people like that. I hope we're not people like that. I hope we don't feel like things will fall apart if I'm not there. I hope we don't feel like that I'm so important that things can't function without me. Don't let pride get built up. It's a warning. Don't let pride lift us up to think us more than we are. And we begin to worship the creation more than the Creator. We got to be careful of that. So don't let yourself get built up. And listen, I know how easy it is to feel that way. I mean, God has been so good. I don't know how many years I've been here. It's been a long time. 18? Something like that. My goodness, in those 18-something years, so many things that have been wonderful God has blessed us with that we've been able to experience over the years. And if we're not careful, we'll think, my goodness, I still think we're the greatest church in the world, but that's beside the point. But we can begin to think that if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't be the greatest church. church in the world. Nothing wrong with thinking we have a great church as long as we know who it is that makes it great. Amen? So we've got to understand and remember that it is all about Jesus Christ and it is not about me. And be thankful to be a part of the ministry that God has developed here. So the warning being, don't get too big for your britches that you think you're really something. So let's flip the other side of that coin now. Let's say don't think so less of yourself that you dwell on your past failures either. Now, we've had a lot of successes. Wonderful things have happened. But don't get to the point to where you beat yourself down so low that you think you're worthless and useless and I don't even have a purpose. I'm not even going to go to church because I'm useless. If I come, then I'm just going to be a problem over there. I'm going to be a hindrance to what God's doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11 says this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then here's where I want to get to. "And such were some of you." He's saying, listen, these things I've labeled here, those of us that have been saved by the blood of Christ, he's saying, we were these people. That's who we were. Then he says this, "But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I've messed up. Have you messed up since you've been saved? Are you kidding? Have you messed up several times since you've been saved? Yes. I've messed up a lot. I've lived more as a Christian than I have as a non-Christian. I've lived 50 years as a Christian, about 7 before I got saved. I've had plenty of time to mess up a lot. But if I continue to beat myself up over my mistakes and over my failures, we can fail, but God doesn't want us to be failures. We know we're going to fail. We know we're going to disappoint. We know we're going to break God's heart. But don't cause that to let us be a failure. Get back up and get back in the race. Get back in what God's telling you to do. Yeah, I mean, but I'm going to be embarrassed. I got up there and I just messed that song all up. I'm never singing again. Well, that's exactly what the devil wants you to say. Well, I got up there and I read one scripture and I preached on another scripture. I ain't never preaching again or I'm never going to teach. I got in there and I had 15 pages of notes to teach that Sunday school class. I was done in 5 minutes. I'm never doing that again. Yeah, the devil wants us to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He wants you to look at yourself and say, I have absolutely nothing to give. I'm useless. He wants you to have a pity party for the rest of your Christian life is what he wants you to have. He'd be happy if you do that. You know what, though? God has more for you. God has more planned for you. God has a vision for you. God has a purpose for your life. Don't beat yourself up to the point to where you feel you're useless to the kingdom of God. If you're here and you're alive and you're breathing, checking a pulse, God's got purpose for you in your life. The question is, find out what that is. What is your purpose? Well, we know He's already given us enough in His Word that we need to be doing every day in addition to the other things He brings to us by the Spirit of God personally. Just live for Jesus. I mean, if we never sing a song, if we never teach a Sunday school class, if we never take up the offering, if we don't do any of those things within this worship service, just live for Jesus and go out and tell somebody how good Jesus is. That's what He's calling us to do. We sit around and be mopey and whiny and have pity parties. We're not going to be any good to the kingdom of God. Don't beat yourself up. Then He leaves us with this final solemn warning down here in chapter number 23 and verse number 13, which I think this is something we need to take note of right here. This is something every Christian needs to be reminded of every day. "Know for a certainty." The word certainty here means assuredly. It means to be aware, and it means to be learned. To make sure we understand it, this is absolute. God is saying, know absolutely There's no debate about this. There's no question about this. There's no maybe, no for a certainty, he said, that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes. If you had a thorn in your eye, I can't even imagine how painful that would be. Until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. That solemn warning lets us know that disobedience has a cost. Samson disobeyed God and he ended up losing his sight, didn't he? Did God forgive him in the end? You remember the story, and he had been blinded. His eyes were gouged out with those fire pokes. Oh, gosh, I cringe thinking about it. But as his hair started to grow back out, as he got right again with God, with Jehovah, and he prayed, he said, God, this one last time, strengthen me. The Bible says that he pushed those columns down. He killed more Philistines in that one act than he did the rest of the time of his adult life in all the battles. Killed more that day. God will forgive us. Here's the thing. God will always forgive us when we seek forgiveness, when we seek Him and ask Him to cleanse our heart. But you know what? Samson was still blind. There's a cost in our lives. David was a little selfish and hung around when he should have been to battle, and he had an affair with Bathsheba, and they ended up having a child. The child died. He murdered a man. Yeah, God forgave him. We read in Psalm 51, David was forgiven, and God restored unto him the joy of his salvation, but yet David still had that cost that was paid because of his sinful ways. We need to remember always how good God is and all that God has done for us and all that Christ has done when He paid the way for our sin debt. And we need to let this solemn warning hit us between the eyes every day of our life. Weigh out the cost of the decisions you make in your life. Is it worth the cost? You know, you're going out and buying something. You're looking at it. You're studying it. You're thinking about it. Wow, that costs that much money. Is it really worth the cost? We take more concern in going and buying something at Walmart than we do the decisions we make as the cost we're going to have to pay when we do those things. There's a cost when we sin. I pray that today we are considering the cost and that we are striving as believers in Jesus to do everything we can to further the kingdom of God. That's where we're at today. I hope and pray that everybody in this room is saved. I can't guarantee that, but I hope and pray everybody is. If you're not today, you know what? It would be a great day to get saved and believe in Jesus. We're going to go down the river to baptize. We'd love to add two or three more, wouldn't we, Scotty, to get down in there. He don't care to stay in that water. As long as they're coming, bring them in. But if you are saved, I hope today that you understand the seriousness of your relationship to Christ. It's not just, woo, I'm saved, going to heaven. Now I'm just going to coast out. I hope you understand the relationship that has been developed when you believed in Jesus as Savior. Stand with us. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our invitation. Father, we come to You today, and these words, they hit us pretty heavy, God. We're truly understanding from the words that You gave Joshua to Israel as they possess the land, that, God, there is a cost to our sin. Yes, forgiveness is there, cleansing is there, but, God, there's always a cost in relation to sin. Help us today, God, to consider the cost. Help us to fall upon our knees and our face before You, God, seeking forgiveness and cleansing, God, that we would have a desire to do nothing more but further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I pray You bless this time of invitation, that You bring those to the altar that need to be there. Stir our hearts, God, and get us where we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.